The Hockey Insider is brought to you by Finance It. Here's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. Give us your reaction to the trade, Bob.
Very interesting. Not surprised at all that Drouin was traded. Not surprised that he was traded to Montreal. Maybe a little surprised that Sergachev was the return, but if it was going to be Montreal, it had to be Sergachev because Steve Yzerman was basically on record as saying he's got to get a young defenseman that fits their profile, and Sergachev does that. I've been beating the drum for 3 months that Drouin's the guy that's getting traded because Tyler Johnson wasn't going to get them Sergachev or another defenseman of that caliber. And he had financial issues, Yzerman did, in Tampa, and they couldn't afford to sign Drouin, Johnson, and Palat. And, you know, Kucherov's on a bridge deal there. It's a 3-year deal. He's got 1 year down, 2 to go. But he's going to be a $7, $8 million player easy when he comes out of his deal. So it was pretty obvious to me that Drouin was going to be the guy that was going to get traded, and he did, and Montreal got him. And that only reinforces to me that there's more to be done in Montreal. I'll be really surprised if Galchenyuk's not traded here in the next little while.
Yeah, that's where I was heading, Bob. You've been very active on Twitter, again, and laying things out. We were talking earlier, Jonathan Drouin certainly adds to the, I guess, the skill level of the Montreal Canadiens, but it doesn't really address the need, which is down the middle and on the back end. So do you believe that Marc Bergevin will be very proactive in trying to address some of their needs?
Yeah, I would think so. You're right. I mean, you know, conceivably, could they keep Galchenyuk and Drouin on the lineup? They could. But, you know, Galchenyuk's up for a deal, too. And he's not going to get Drouin money, but he's going to be looking for a healthy number. And, you know, he could get bridged again. He was coming off a bridge. But I think, you know, he's only 2 years away from unrestricted free agency. So, you know, if you're going to sign him, you're going to sign him for longer than 2 years because you don't want to walk him to free agency and then lose him for nothing. So my guess is that Galchenyuk will get traded, and they do need to address specific position needs. They don't really have any. I'll be curious to see if they try to get Drouin to play center. I don't know if that's a pipe dream or whether he could do it. He might be able to do it. He's got all the skills, maybe not without the puck necessarily, but he's a talent. So I'll be curious to see if they try that. Even if they don't, I still think Galchenyuk could be sacrificed to get themselves a defenseman. Jonas Brodin in Minnesota is a guy that's eminently available right now. I believe Minnesota is likely to trade him before the freeze on Saturday at 3 o'clock. And Montreal's by no means the only team in on Jonas Brodin. But that's the type of defenseman Montreal's obviously looking for. And so if you could replace Galchenyuk in the lineup with Drouin, and then you could replace, you know, and bring Brodin into the picture. Maybe a little bit of blue skying going on there because, as I say, there's other teams that are in there. But if you get a defenseman of that caliber, you're Marc Bergevin, you're much further ahead than you were.
With Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, you mentioned the trade freeze on Saturday at 3 p.m. That's when Vegas effectively holds all the cards, and they'll have exclusivity over doing anything league-wide, signing players, making deals, all that kind of stuff. So what's your sense from the 30 other GMs in terms of getting things done before that deadline? How hectic is it right now?
I think it's crazy right now. I think there's all sorts of talk going on for, as I say, a team like Minnesota. They want to trade a defenseman between now and the 3 p.m. deadline. There are other teams that are looking to do similar type things. As you point out, you got the freeze at 3 o'clock on Saturday, and then starting at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, teams can deal again, but only with Vegas. And that lasts all the way through till next Thursday, a week today, at 8 a.m. Eastern time. So, you know, all the other activity ceases outside of whatever Vegas might do. So I'm sure there's plenty of action going on in plenty of spots right now all across the league. Some of these teams have deals cut with Vegas already. Some of them still want to try to make them. But I think a lot of teams are talking to each other outside of the Vegas situation and trying to make something happen.
You mentioned Minnesota and defensemen. Is there any rumblings of Toronto sniffing around on any of their D-men?
Well, I don't know if necessarily with Minnesota, but I'm sure Toronto's sniffing around on D-men. I heard a rumor, and I really want to stress the difference between a rumor and when I come on and talk about something that it might be substantial. I've not been able to confirm or deny or get any information. It was just a rumor out there. But Mark Pesek in Florida is a guy who some people think that might be available because of the expansion draft. You know, if Florida goes 3-7, everybody's already talking that Jason Demers is likely to be exposed in Florida. But with Ekblad and the fact that Keith Yandel's got a no-move clause and he's not waiving it, there's two guys that you have to protect. Then you've got Pesek and Petrovic, two relatively young defensemen. One of them's got to be exposed, probably in addition to Jason Demers. So if you're Florida, do you trade one of those guys? And there's lots of speculation, but nothing firm by any stretch, that maybe they would. Well, you know, Pesek's a name that, as I say, I've heard that the Leafs may have interest in, but that's, as I say, I want to really stress that it's a rumor as opposed to anything substantial.
Well, the Leafs are in, I think, a great spot because they're not really concerned about who they're exposing. They're not going to lose anyone of significance, and by all accounts, they've got cap room, and we know that they've got deep pockets, so they can eat money if need be, and they got Lou in town who somehow makes guys just go away if he has to. Yet there's, depending on what you're reading, what you're hearing, no one quite has a read on whether or not they're going big game hunting or if they're okay with just kind of supplementing what they have. And by that I mean, make a big deal for a Sammy Vatanen or a Brodin, or do you get the impression like they'd be okay a month from now having just signed like a Girardi on a one-year deal, and that's your third pairing guy, and we just move forward with what we have here?
Yeah, I think they're open to anything and everything, and I think they'll inquire into significant stuff if it's there. But by the way, I think if they were to get a Brodin or a Vatanen, that's a significant move. Those guys are top four defensemen.
Right.
They're making $4 million or more bucks, or in that $4 million range, which is the sort of the signature of a top four defenseman in the National Hockey League. So that would be a notable transaction were they to do that. So I don't have any specific knowledge that the Leafs are in on this particular guy or that particular guy, but I've got to believe that, if they believe that's a defenseman that suits their purposes, they're going to be all over it. They're dealing from a position of strength, two positions of strength, really. Number one, they've got a lot of guys. I mean, if they want to use players like Connor Brown or elements like that, they've got some guys that have a little bit of a sizzle and jam in terms of the trade market that might be used in those types of situations. And the other, the secondary thing they've got in their favor is they're not absolutely required to do something. This is not life and death. If we don't come out with another top four defenseman this year, next year is going to be disaster. All it means is they're coming back with Riley and Zaitsev and Gardner and maybe Dermott and maybe one of those two Swedish kids they signed. See what else, Carrick and whatever else is kicking around out there. But whether it's Brodin or whether it's Vatanen or whether it's Pesek or whatever relatively young defensemen that don't have a huge cap number, I'm sure the Leafs are checking out all the possibilities.
With Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, another big name that always seems to be on the rumor mill, has been the past couple of years, continues to be today, is Jordan Eberle out of Edmonton. They got a bunch of players to protect, a bunch of obvious ones that they will. What's your sense on how Chiarelli and the Oilers are going to approach Eberle this offseason?
Well, I think he's going to get traded. Now, not 100% guaranteed, but if you're asking me if he's going to get traded, I would say it's much more likely than not that Jordan Eberle gets traded. And I would say it's more likely than not that the trade happens before the freeze on Saturday, for obvious reasons, protection issues, whatever the case may be. But in any case, You know, and it's interesting because you get all sorts of people who say, you know, that Jordan Eberle's being made a scapegoat for a bad playoff and that he's been a pretty good player for them over the years, and I think he has. But I also think that the Oil recognize that at some point in time, even if it's not now, it's probably a year from now, they desperately need, you know, they can't afford to pay Jordan Eberle $6 million is what it really boils down to, and that's what they're paying him. Now, they can't afford it right now. So if they wanted to wait a year, they could. But I think they recognize that there is, even in spite of a bad playoff, there's significant interest in Jordan Eberle, and I think they want to turn the page, and I think they want to bring in a different asset, and they want to use those dollars elsewhere. They've got to do the McDavid deal. They've got to do the Draisaitl deal, but McDavid deal doesn't kick in for another year anyways. So as I said, they do have the luxury, if they absolutely hated what was on the table for Jordan Eberle, then they don't have to do a deal. But my understanding of the situation is they got plenty of offers on the table right now and enough that they look at and say, realistically, yeah, we could do some of these, or we're very close that something could be done here. So why wait? So that's my sense of it. And as I say, it's not 100% guaranteed Eberle will be traded. By no means is it 100% guaranteed that Eberle will be traded, period. It's not 100% guaranteed that he'll be traded by Saturday, but I'd be the least surprised guy in the world if he was.
What the hell's that McDavid deal going to look like?
I don't know. You know what I'm interested? Before we get to McDavid, I want to know what the Carey Price deal is going to look like. That's what I'm really curious. I'm really, really curious. Because I don't have it in front of me here, but I want to say that Pekka Rinne, is he the highest paid goaltender in the league?
No, I think Lundqvist is.
Lundqvist, yeah. So what is he, what, 7.75?
No, I think Lundqvist is over eight.
Okay, yeah,
I got it right here.
And I think Price would be over.
Make sure we're dealing AAV.
His cap it is 8.5.
8.5. Okay, so you know that's the. You know that Carey's getting more than 8.5.
Absolutely.
Because that deal is how many years old? 5 years old? 4 years old?
It's a couple years anyway.
Yeah, at least a couple. So, anyways, it's an older deal. So at 8.5, even though the cap hasn't gone up crazy since then, you know that. In his mind, he's saying, okay, well, I got to be 9 or 9.5 or 10. But what I'm wondering is, what if it's 11 or 12? You know, because what's Montreal going to say? Ah, no.
They got to write him a bank. They got to hand him a blank check and say, fill it out.
They are going to, and Price has got to know the higher he writes that number in, the harder it is to build a team around him.
No kidding.
They're trying to sign Radulov. You know, now they've got. You know, they've got the Drouin deal. Drouin's a bargain, by the way, in my mind, at 5.5. I thought for sure he'd come in at 6x6.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think he's an elite offensive player. And, I mean, you look at all those guys. Again, some of these deals don't stand the test of time because they're done 4, 5, 6 years ago. But, you know, Tavares, 5.75, when he came out of entry level. You know, Skinner. 5.5 or 5.75. And then Edmonton, all those guys, Hall, Eberle, Nugent Hopkins, they all got 6x6.
Right.
Yeah.
That was sort of, for anybody in your organization that was considered sort of a foundational offensive player, and it's funny how things change because we're talking about Eberle being traded now, and part of the reason he's being traded is because he hasn't lived up to that $6 million a year. You know, I think that was a bogey on the part of the Edmonton Oilers. I don't think that's a bogey on the part of the Montreal Canadiens. But if they'd gone 6x6, I wouldn't have batted an eyelash because that's the going rate for foundational offensive players coming out of entry level. Now, you can debate, is Drouin a foundational offensive player coming out of entry level, or is he something less than that? I think he's pretty spectacular myself.
Well, it also bring it back to Toronto. What's going to go on a year from now in the summertime? They're going to have some interesting...
Well, I was going to mention quickly while we're on that, because you're talking about the Leafs, Nylander, they can work a deal out with him this summer, can they not, Bob? He's an RFA after next year.
Yeah, so technically they could do a deal...
as of July 1, I would assume.
July 1. And it's interesting because he's still on entry level. So what the pros and cons of doing a deal when you got a year left is if he has a really good third year, what they call the platform year, especially in concert with what he did this year, you're screwed. like he, now he's not doing a bridge deal, and he's not doing a lower end.
No, he's going to want more than the Drouin deal.
He's going to want way more than the Drouin deal, and that now, if by chance he has a bad platform year, which is the third year of your entry level, and it's a whole different ballgame. You know, he still expects to be paid, but he doesn't. You know, he can't hit it out of the park, and that's, you know, that's then where you have to end up taking something at less than. In and around Drouin or less.
Well, it's an interesting gamble on both sides, isn't it? Because Leafs are thinking, okay, do we talk to him now and try to get a few years at lesser money, and bank on him continuing to grow, or let him play it out? Maybe he steps back a bit, which won't benefit them in terms of this upcoming season. I can't imagine they would want that to happen to a player. But then maybe you get them a bit cheaper. But if you're Nylander, I mean, you guys can speak to this as a player. Do you gamble in your own ability and say, no, I'll wait another year and I'll really make you pay? Or do you take some security and take some cash after 1 year?
Yeah, I don't know. The players would know better than me. But if I were the Leafs, I'd probably be looking at trying to do, six times six type deal for a guy like Nylander right away. And, because there's no reason to believe he's not going to build on what he did this season, really.
Yeah, I don't want him to rip home 35 next year, and then it's like, all right.
Yeah, then it's like, and that's part of what Edmonton's dealing with Draisaitl right now.
Yeah.
Draisaitl, especially coming off the playoff he had, my goodness. Well, that's a hell of a platform year for him. His deal's up. A year ago, if they went to Draisaitl and said, hey, we'll give you the 6x6, he probably grabs it and everybody's happy. And now McDavid and him almost have to get their deals done simultaneously, because if I'm McDavid and so I'm saying, okay, I'm going to take a hometown discount because I want to build a team around me. I don't want to take 13 or 14 million, which I could probably command. But I don't want to do that because I know that I got to take a hometown discount in a cap world to make sure that they're able to sign all the players we want to sign so we can win a cup. That's what Crosby did. That's what Malkin did. That's what these guys do.
Yeah.
And that. But if he sits there and says, yeah, and so he takes his hometown discount and say he does it for 10-5 or 10, the same money that Kane and Taves are making, and then the next guy up to bat is Draisaitl, and Draisaitl comes in and doesn't take a hometown discount, and suddenly the money that McDavid chose not to take just went into Dreisaitl's pocket. So if you're one or the other, you kind of want to know what the other guy's doing and where it's at. So it's kind of a funny dynamic.
Well, it's so true. And I mean, what we just said about Price, how he can ask for whatever he wants and the Habs are going to have to give it to him. Right. Same thing as like McDavid and Edmonton. If he walks in and says, I want the max.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, I understand he's an RFA, so he's in a different situation, but they're not going to mess around with him.
No. And you know what? In fairness, the long since departed executive director of the NHLPA, Bob Goodenow, he said, you guys don't want a salary cap, because what a salary cap will do is it will turn player against player. You guys will have to cannibalize each other. And that part of it's absolutely true. It's absolutely 100% true that, if Carey Price wants his true market value, then he's got to say he's got to get it, knowing that Montreal can't sign Alex Radulov. So I'm going to be a goalie for a team that's going to lose one of their best offensive players because I want the money that I'm owed. And so you end up having to take less if you want to build that team around you. And it's the same, it's the same dynamic with Crosby and Malkin and it'll be the same dynamic to varying degrees with McDavid and Price and those other players in a franchise where, as you say, the rare player who can just say, give me the check and I'll fill in the number for you.
I would have signed up for cannibalizing each other as opposed to missing a year and losing $3.5 million.
Yeah, we all.
That's what you call a loser move.
Loser's race.
The loser's race. $3.5 million on the table.
Yeah.
Up in smoke.
in the toilet.
Losers race.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Bob.
I could think of probably $3.5 million you've also spent.
$250,000 of it anyway.
Yeah, in other areas that went basically up in smoke.
Yeah. The rest of it was just on nonsense.
Yeah. All right, Bob. The famous Derek Sanderson line? I think it was Sanderson.
Yeah, he says, I spent $1 million on booze and drugs. The rest of it was just on nonsense.
I just wasted.
His story, man. You're lucky you didn't go down that path, man.
That book was
down by the river.
Derek's, he was actually
down by the river.
Yeah, he was Matt Foley.
I got a real job now.
Yeah. All right, Bob. Good stuff, man. We'll do it again soon. It should be a fun 48 hours.
All right, boys. Thanks a lot.
Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, brought to you by Financing, monthly payment plans for big dreams and everyday budgets.